That's a great way to start the show. Hi, folks. It is Wednesday night, 9:02-ish. You're listening to WVEW LP 107.7 FM, Brattleboro Community Radio. Welcome to Wednesday night at 9 p.m.-ish. Means, what are you giggling over there already?
Nothing. I'm just wondering who's teaching who the facts of life over here.
Well, that's why we have a guest.
Excellent.
And a guest in the studio, too. Wave to everyone, guest.
That silent wave is Stacy.
Hi, Stacy. You are listening to This Show Is So Gay. I'm Ken.
And I'm Becca.
How's it going?
Pretty good.
How you doing over there?
Hey, I'm
doing
fine.
Oh, good.
She said she's doing
fine. Every now and then we'll check in with her. So this was an eventful week.
Yes, it was.
For me.
Tell more.
But don't get mad at me.
Okay.
You promise?
I always try to promise, but then I fail. Okay, go on.
So Andrew and I got our civil union yesterday.
Yes.
For adoption purposes.
Yes.
And right before I was going to go to town hall to get the civil union, I went to my car. And what did I find there on my car, Becca?
Destruction and chaos.
What did I find there on my car, Becca?
Maybe a big scandalous sign trying to embarrass you publicly.
Yeah. And well done on that. So I was really conflicted about it. And we went and we were in town hall and this woman was going to get her dog license because where you get your civil union thing is where you get your dog license. And so she said, oh, are you getting your civil union? You okay over there?
I'm okay.
Okay. It's a very choked up kind of story.
Yes.
Where you get your civil union is where you get your dog license. She said, are you getting a civil union? We said yes. And she said, oh, congratulations. And she was really much more enthusiastic about it than we were. And then I felt really bad. And so I've been thinking about it and thinking about it. And then I came into work this morning and there was a big sign on my door that said,
more civil union stuff.
Yeah.
Just trying to publicly embarrass you some more.
And again, well done. And so I was sitting down at lunch today and I was trying to figure out, so what's my problem with all this? I feel like I'm supposed to care a lot more. And then I was thinking about when Evan Wolfson was on, he said that civil unions are not as good as marriages.
But it is basically, I mean, it's a lot like paperwork for taxes. I mean,
except we don't get the tax benefits.
I mean, it is lame.
So I was just very conflicted about it, and I felt like I was supposed to be feeling a lot more than I was feeling. And so I was sat down at lunch today, and I was speaking with Meg Mott, who is a political theory professor at Marlborough College. And she said, hold on one second, let me run to my office and get an article that I wrote. And she ran up to her office and she came back. It's a really long story to get to this piece. And she wrote a whole article called Marriage Woes for the Brattleboro Reformer. And in it, she says, quote, although you may not hear from many of us, I don't think I'm the only gay person who is against the National Gay and Lesbian Task Force Marriage Initiative. Not because I'm against monogamy or commitment or any situation that allows a person to grow up in the best sense of the word, but because I'm against political efforts that masquerade as radical while leaving dangerous practices intact. And it again rammed it home for me that this is, I just don't care about this issue as much as I, as much as other people are telling me that I should. So as I was trolling, just staring dazedly, man.
I'm just listening.
As I was looking at stories for this week, there were just a ton and ton of marriage stories. And I was reading them and thinking, oh, I should be much more. I just got a civil union. This is something I should be really excited about. And I wasn't. And again, not because I'm not for commitment, not because I don't love my partner, but because it's just, it feels like a masquerade.
It is. It is. I mean, but, you know, but you have to celebrate that as well.
No,
you
and,
know?
And we'll have a potluck.
Yeah.
And celebrate it. And then,
but also right now in Vermont, there's a huge initiative to try to change civil unions to marriage.
And you got to wonder if that's going to be a little bit more difficult because they started out with civil unions. Because people have become so complacent with the civil unions. Every now and then, guest over there, just nod your head, right? Okay, Stacy nodded. People have become so complacent with civil unions that you have to wonder, all right, well, Vermont is good and we're so progressive. We have everything we need. When in fact, there are now other states that actually have marriage. But again, it's not. There's no federal benefits that we got out of our civil union yesterday.
But is that what people are celebrating? They're like, yay, tax benefits.
Well, but I felt like supposed to be fighting and saying, oh my gosh, we did this and everyone else should do this and how dare they? And again, totally against that they're still trying, Kenneth Starr's trying to take away the marriages in California of people that had that ceremony. And there's this great initiative out there with a Regina Spektor song. Did you see that one? With all these couples holding up a sign that says, please don't divorce us and don't divorce my daddies. And I think it's terrible and I don't think anyone's marriage should be taken away. But I was really perturbed because I wasn't I felt like as riled up as I was supposed to be about marriage.
But
and I realized it's not
how much
my issue.
Does it actually change your relationship with Andrew?
Oh, not at all.
I mean, really, I mean, you can call it whatever you want and you can
yeah.
have tax benefits or not tax benefits. And I mean, but
yeah, it just,
so
it,
why would you get riled up?
Well, I but mean, it again reminded me that there are issues out there in the LGBT community that I care so much more about, that really are, and Meg
see,
says
I am fired
article.
Up about marriage, but that's okay.
Well, that's good. Then you can be fired up for the both of us because okay. I'm not there. And I was feeling, I guess what I'm trying to say is I was feeling incredible guilt about it because I thought I was supposed to be much more fired up because now I'm part of this system that, we entered into this thing that other people can't enter into and I need to fight for this. And then I didn't feel it. And then I felt guilty.
Why did you? Don't feel
know.
Guilty.
I don't know.
So don't feel guilty. Answer. That's my answer.
You know what I don't feel guilty about? Our amazing guest tonight. Oh,
no.
Dancing. Do you want to do that shout out? Do that shout out.
Oh, yes. There is a shout out relating to dancing. We do have an event coming up this Friday and Saturday at the Lumens Dance Theater, which is a new theater company at the New England Youth Theater, which is on Flat Street in Brattleboro. And they're having an opening event. The gala is Friday at 7:30, and on Saturday they have a matinee and a premiere at 2:00 and 7:30, and there's some great dancers involved in that, and you can check them out at luminsstudio.com, and that's luminzstudio.com. We'll have a link to it on our website, probably. All right, excellent.
quality shout out,
or at least on our Facebook page.
Tonight's guest is Diana Nyad, who is a world champion swimmer and also a sports journalist, and we're thrilled to have her on. And her music requests, I love when music requests require or don't require that I go and download new music.
They were all.
I already had all of this stuff. And you know why? Because she wanted an all pink hour, and I can provide an all pink hour.
Nice.
So with no further ado, let's cue up some pink.
All right, bring it on.
That was Pink singing Tell Me Something Good from the Happy Feet soundtrack.
Excellent.
What happens when our visitor in the studio is laughing at us in the corner there? Are you laughing at the Happy Feet soundtrack?
I'm laughing that it's from Happy Feet.
It's the best. They're penguins. It's Pink. It's all good.
I haven't seen Happy Feet.
So things that I do care about. We could make a list. Oh, sorry. I should issue a correction. It's great doing a live show because you can issue corrections while you're in progress. I did not get a civil union yesterday. We got the license. So if you're listening and you're thinking, why didn't they tell us that and they got a civil union and why weren't we invited? It's because we got the license. Now we have to do the second part where the Justice of the Peace solemnifies it in some way over a potluck dinner.
Is that like when you put Jell-O in the fridge and it sets and then it's all jiggly?
You know, I think that that's an apt metaphor for civil unions.
So you've already mixed up the funny colored stuff and it's all liquidy.
Now we're waiting for the Justice of the Peace to take it out of the fridge and serve it to the gay community.
Wow.
Let's run with that.
That was like the worst metaphor I've ever made, but we're going to go with it anyway.
Thankfully, we can edit it out of the podcast. There was an LGBT immigration bill. Did you see this one that was introduced into Congress?
I did not. Tell me all about it.
I will. Representative Gerald Nadler, reintroduced in the House the Uniting American Families Act, which would amend a current immigration law to allow gay and lesbian Americans to sponsor their foreign-born partners for permanent residency, which they cannot currently do, on the same basis that straight citizens can sponsor spouses. Nadler, a New York Democrat, has introduced a version of this bill every legislative session since 2000, the year 2000. Last session, it had 119 co-sponsors, falling 100 votes short. But get this. Sissy Lofton and Janet of Brattleboro, Vermont, little shout out to Brattleboro right there in the article, is one such couple. Though they were joined in a civil union, though they were CU'd in the year 2000, and May will mark their 25th anniversary, they will not be able to celebrate together. Janet is a British citizen. Said the situation, she has no last name in this because they had to omit it to protect her identity, said the situation makes her angry. The only way that I can be here at the moment is on a tourist visa with a maximum of 90 days. The rest of the time I go back to England and I feel like I'm living in exile waiting for my life to happen. I mean, that's something that needs to change immediately. That's something I care so much more about, of actually correcting the really messed up things in our society.
Yeah.
So we hope that goes through Congress, and they're feeling pretty hopeful about it because it's a much more receptive Congress. So, crossing our fingers for that.
All right. I will.
Okay, good. You crossing your fingers over there in the corner? Okay, good. So that was that. You want this week's poll?
I do.
Okay. Apparently, there were all these marriage protests last week.
I know. I totally missed this.
I didn't
apparently
see it
this
at
is
all.
An annual thing, and I don't know anything about it, and I feel like a real jerk.
So the poll question was, were you part of any sort of marriage protest last week? And the four possible answers were, no, I couldn't find any local events. No, I wasn't interested. Yes, I was part of a rally or lobbying day. Or yes, I tried to get married at City Hall. Whereas there should have been an answer of, no, I didn't know anything about it. And I think that that is part of the problem. So I'm not even going to go into what people answered, because I think the poll is faulty and it signifies a really big problem.
Are completely...
I think this is the whole problem, is that, first of all, you're assuming that people know anything about it. But I will say, as the article goes, couples nationwide last week participated in a series of Freedom to Marry Day protests. Not that we knew anything about
Apparently,
it.
Apparently, every Valentine's Day. People go
I had no idea. Quote, a lot of people feel a sense of determination and regret over having been too complacent or quiet before, so there's a commitment to never again. We have to take action, said Evan Wolfson, who started Freedom to Marry Day.
Hey, we know him.
We know him. He was on the show.
But you know what the protest was? People were going to City Hall and requesting marriage licenses. So I'm not going to participate in that anyway. What am I going to do? Show up with me and my houseplant?
Well, you could do the second poll.
You know, hey, we want a license. I swear this houseplant is a lesbian.
Well, the second poll was, will you try to get a marriage license for Freedom to Marry Week? And so the answers were, no, I don't have a partner. Hand raised. No, we can get married in my state. Yes. not sure, and no, it's a bad idea. And so 49%, the plurality, said, no, I don't have a partner. And then 23% said, no, we can get married in my state. 10% of people said yes.
Maybe so, I should go and ask for a girlfriend and a marriage license.
They might give that out with the Jell-O.
With the Jell-O.
Yes, I think that's what you
and
get.
And this show is so gay t-shirts, which I'm sure will be there.
Oh, that would be amazing.
Yeah.
I think that we should totally, this is what happens. We come up with ideas in the middle of the show.
Okay.
We should donate some t-shirts to City Hall and we people get civil union. It could be our gift to them. Or magnets. T-shirts is a little pricey for us.
Or business cards.
Or the business cards.
That's how about really a handwritten thank you note?
Please listen to us now that you have your civil union. We should do that.
So we're just going to ignore the single gay community. Wow.
I don't know that that's
see,
our demographic.
See, I knew this CUing would change
yes,
you.
Yes, it's changed me. I don't even see the single people. I know you're there, but I don't know. That's not true.
Oh, the pain.
We love our single friends. And especially if this with this whole new proposal that we have going on that Brattleboro City Hall will give out a free girlfriend with every civil union.
Absolutely.
Preferably you go in single. If you're going in with your partner and they give you a free girlfriend, it's just going to get complicated. So.
Yeah.
So don't do that. Hey, when was the last time you were in Kentucky?
I have honestly never been to Kentucky. I haven't even been to a KFC.
Stace?
Ever.
Kentucky?
About 5 years ago.
You really have been to Kentucky?
Yeah.
How much time did you spend there?
A week.
Stacey spent a week there, in case you can't hear her. Wow. How was that week for you?
It was hot.
It's also bad if you want to adopt children, because there's a legislation going through Kentucky right now that would bar gay and lesbian couples from adopting children. The Fairness Campaign issued a statement on Monday calling the legislation sponsored by State Senator Gary Tapp an anti-gay political attack. The measure would allow children to be placed only in adoptive or foster homes with people who are, quote, not cohabitating outside of a marriage that is legally valid in Kentucky. As someone who's involved in the adoption process, are you freaking kidding me? And there was a further quote, which I didn't
pull.
Can
that be our new bumper sticker?
Are you freaking
kidding me?
This show is so gay.
Yeah.
Just somewhere on the bottom. Are you freaking kidding me? I'd be fine. We should put that on the back of our business card.
I think we should have.
But there was a further quote in there that said, it's just proven that kids need two parents. Right. Because there aren't kids who need parents at all.
Right.
It's just ridiculous. It's stupid stuff like this just annoys me. And I don't really have much more to say about it than that. And so,
all right, so we're going to play some Pink.
Let's play some
Pink. Are we going to play one of her angrier songs?
We're going to play one of her angrier songs.
Okay, good.
I'm a rock star. I got my rock.
That was So What off of Pink's newest album, Funhouse. And with that, I think it's time to welcome a guest. How do you feel about that?
I'm okay with that.
Guest, are you there?
I'm here.
Fantastic.
Hello.
All right, now we got to do your intro, though, so you got to just sit back and listen.
Okay, go ahead. Make it good.
Oh, gosh. Okay, they don't usually put that much pressure on us guests.
Pump it up.
Okay. This show is So Gay is proud and thrilled to welcome journalist and swimming icon. You are an icon. Diana Nyad to this week's show. In addition to her weekly sports pieces on NPR, Diana recently launched a fitness movement for women over 40, which we are going to talk about, bravabody.com, to empower women towards everyday well-being. Oh, and she is the world record holder for the longest swim in history, 102.5 freaking miles. Not meters, miles. 102.5 miles, Diana.
That's right.
Okay.
Why?
No, we're getting to that.
Okay.
Hold on.
Okay.
We're going to get to that. She was also recently named to Out Magazine's 100 People Who Contributed Most to American Culture for 2008. And listeners, don't tell our other Out 100ers this, but Diana Nyad's picture was the coolest photograph of all of the photographs.
Yes.
It was by far the coolest photograph. And with that, Diana Nyad, welcome to this show, So Gay, with Ken and Becca.
Thank you so much, Ken, Becca. It is my pleasure. And how about that Out photograph? I would never, you know, I'm no like raving beauty. I would never say, "Oh, you got to see my photo." Here's my, but that one.
That one is.
I will take an enlarged blow up and throw it on my living room wall. It was that hot.
It's fantastic.
It's very good.
When you saw it for the first time, were you like, "Oh my God"?
Yeah, blown away. Well, first of all, I can only imagine how large the industrial size airbrush was that they used.
Oh, please.
No, I mean,
you're a swimmer. Your skin is well hydrated.
Yeah, it was hydrated, but not like that. They blew off about 30 years for me on that. And also, you know, it's funny because I will occasionally wear like a short mini skirt or boots. That's why I like Pink so much, and I asked for some Pink music tonight. She's hot, she's bold, she's strong, she's creative. So I'll do that, but I don't like the whole top bit. Like, they told
right.
me all the Out photographs this year were going to be based on 1930s glamour in Hollywood, and I was picturing, oh, strapless gowns, you know, over-the-shoulder gowns, and it's just not me. And then the art director calls me the day before, and he said, how about we do something like a Greta Garbo men's suit? I said, now we're talking.
That is you. It's a fantastic photo. That's a keeper.
Thank you. I love it.
So 102.5 miles.
Yeah, don't forget the 0.5 because, you know, 102, anybody can do.
Well, I did 102 yesterday, but it was the 0.5. There was no way.
No, when you get to 102 and then you look at that shore and it's another 0.5 friggin' miles away, you say, I can't make it. Not another 0.5. Don't give me another 0.5. But, you know, somehow I caught a lucky current and I got that last half mile in.
You made it.
I made it.
You made it. All right, you want to talk some LGBT news with us?
Sure.
So I did a little research because I'm trying to be more topical with our guests and not throw random topics. So I was doing a lot of research on the intersection between LGBT identity and athletics. And it's something that I'm pretty darn passionate about and wanted to talk with you a little bit about that, if you're okay with it.
Okay.
So this was the 10th anniversary of Amélie Mauresmo. I'm a huge tennis addict, Diana.
Okay.
I'm a crazy tennis addict. So this was the 10th anniversary of Amélie Mauresmo, who's an amazing French tennis player. She came out at the Australian Open 10 years ago, and they interviewed Billie Jean King about it. And one of the things that Billie Jean King said is, we need straight people. This is a quote. We need straight people, particularly in the male arena, to support the gay guys. They have to. And if they stand up for us, that's how we gain acceptance. We need our friends, our brothers and sisters, especially if they have influence. And that, I wanted to talk about that a little bit because there is no small lack of out women in sports. But the number of out men, particularly in team sports, is pretty small. What's that about, Diana?
Oh, it's close to zero. I mean, you know, well, now you're bringing up a whole gamut of things here. So let's start.
Let's start.
Let's back a little bit before we go to men and team sports. Let's go to Amélie Mauresmo.
Oh.
Okay? Now, you know, unfortunately, what drives sports, what drives the money in sports is the young male sports fan.
Right.
You know, call it crazy. You know, I wouldn't think that would be the tennis audience, but it's still, that's what brings in advertising dollars. That's what brings in television contracts. And I'm telling you, I used to work for Fox Sports, which is sort of the playground of young male sports fans, and they would stand around watching, you know, television screens, and when someone, you know, bulky and, shall we say, more masculine-looking, like a Serena Williams would come on, they would go, oh, my God, you know, this isn't worth watching. Whereas, you know, if someone like an Anna Ivanovic came on, who's, you know, very femmy and plays up her straight lifestyle.
And marketable.
Into it, and they want to watch the sport. Whereas Amelie Mauresmo, I mean, call me crazy. Like you said, Ken, you're a tennis fan. To me, this is a very classically attractive woman.
Oh, gosh. Oh, yeah.
I mean, she's got, you know, beautiful, you know, jawline and eye color. And, you know, she wears a beautiful French pleated skirt with the best of them. But she's gay.
Right.
And so, you know, if you listen to male talk radio, which is, you know, guy talk all day long, they hate her. It's almost to the point of hatred. They hate this woman. They don't care whether she's got a great sliced backhand. They don't care whether, you know, she won the Australian Open. They hate her just because she's not into guys sexually.
Right.
And it's obvious. You know, it's obvious out there. So tell me something. If Amelie Mauresmo has trouble, you know, in terms of selling herself, you know, as an endorsement, you know, queen, what is a guy who's playing in the NBA or the NFL or the NHL, what's he going to do if he's gay? Like, name me one right now.
Right.
You know, if we say, what do we say, 10% of the population? And, you know, the three of us know that it's higher than that if you talk about, you know, the full gamut of gay people in our society. Well, you know, you're telling me in the National Basketball Association there isn't one gay individual? Well, of course that's bull.
Right.
They are, but they're scared to death. They're scared what, you know, how they would be maligned in their locker room, how their story would take away from the team's focus during the year, that, you know, every press person would be around just pressing on that story, and they're scared that, you know, they're even in their private lives, that their families won't accept them. So you just can't tell me that in the NFL and in men's tennis and in, you know, men's golf and in all those men's sports, there aren't just a dabbling, just a few gay guys. Of course there are, but they're living in utter fear and they cannot come out.
I can't believe the team sports. I'm not making any excuses for team sports, but I'm just so floored about men's tennis. There was an article, I think it was a couple months ago in Out magazine, about Francisco Rodriguez, who professional man retired. I think he's retired now. Men's tennis player who came out, and they interviewed Justin Gimelstob, who is not a friend to really anyone, either gay or women. And Justin Gimelstob said, and I jotted it down, I think that they're, quote, I think there's 100% chance that a player who comes out would be an outcast and wouldn't be signing a deal for Viagra or Trojans. Good luck finding top players to talk about this. I just was so floored by that because, all right, there's team sports, but in men's tennis, it struck me as ridiculous.
I know, I agree, but still, you know, look at what just happened to Michael Phelps, okay?
Right.
I know that picture, you know, it was a tough picture. You know, it would be a lot different if Michael Phelps, honestly, was, you know, in the privacy of his own apartment with one great friend and they were smoking a little tiny joint. You know, then people, you know, could say a little bit like, hey, you know, he's a normal human being. He's not some big pothead, and he's not, you know, throwing away his life to drugs. Of course not. He's a 23-year-old who may occasionally drink a couple of beers, smoke a little pot, but unfortunately he was smoking like the biggest bong in the Western planet, on the Western world. And, you know, and that picture was just horrible to see. That beautiful lung capacity, you know, was being geared toward this giant 4-foot bong. So that wasn't a good image, but
That was not a 1930s Greta Garbo image.
No, there you go, and I just can't imagine how he is cringing and regretting.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that he didn't have the foresight to know just how famous he is at this moment, and no matter where he is, some jerk with a cell phone can capture his picture. So, you know, he's learned a big lesson in that. But my point is, to try to get it back to the gay issue, is that for some reason, we expect, you know, we hear about our actors and our, you know, and people in other walks of life that we learn about them that, oh, they smoked a joint last night. Oh, they, you know, they had a homosexual or a bisexual relationship in college, or they are gay, or whatever. It's like, oh, well, they're creative and they're allowed to do all that. But my God, if you're an athlete, look at Alex Rodriguez. To me, this is just, it's preposterous.
Yeah.
That we think now Alex Rodriguez must not be a great baseball player because he took some performance-enhancing drugs for a couple of years. I'm not saying that I condone that entirely, but it's the way of the athletic world. And so is homosexuality to a degree. So is pot smoking to a degree. But athletes are held to this, you know, apple pie, whole milk standard that is just not of the real world.
No.
Young people smoke a little pot. Young people, you know, come into their sexuality early on in life. And, you know, we hold them up as to say, that's not being a great athlete. You know, you can't be gay and be a great athlete. That's just not, you know, Mickey Mantle. That's not Joe Montana. It's not right. And it's crazy, whether it's tennis or football. It's crazy. But unfortunately, the public has this apple pie image. And, you know, we tarnish it all the time.
Even when they win a gold medal, like Matthew Mitchum, who struggled to find a sponsorship deal, which was just remarkable.
Well, forget about Matthew. Let's take Greg Louganis.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I'm sure you read his book. I you know, did the review for it for the L.A. Times. And, you know, Greg Louganis is a beautiful man. He's, you know, is still the greatest diver in the history of the sport, male or female. And, you know, he suffered. You would think at that level, you know, you could just write your own ticket.
If right.
Greg Louganis, and, you know, you're now on to your X number of gold medals, and you're, you know, an icon not only of the sport but of male beauty. You know, nobody looked more beautiful careening through the air gracefully than Greg Louganis. But he knew that he just couldn't stand up as Martina could, although she lost a lot of endorsements too.
Right.
But he couldn't stand up even at his prime and say, go take a hike. I'm gay. And, you know, you can't do anything about it. You can't keep me from winning the next gold medal. Maybe you'll keep me from an endorsement or two, but you can't keep me from being on the cover of Sports Illustrated. I'm just too good. I'm going to write my own ticket. He couldn't do it. You know, and even the women can't do it. Moresmo can't do it. And Martina, I admire her for how far she's gone with it. But the truth is, you know, when you look down the list of her endorsements, you know, she has definitely suffered for it, too.
Right. Although I did like that Billie Jean King in this article said that while she lost a lot of endorsements, now she actually gets endorsements for being gay. Although I don't know how many.
Yeah, well, it's not the same as, you know, someone who would be considered straight and a raving heterosexual beauty, believe me, and Billie Jean would be the first one to tell you that. It's just that she can afford at this point.
Right.
Just, you know, be who she is. But let's look back. You know, she felt she couldn't afford that when she was in her 20s, 30s, and even 40s.
I'm having such a flashback, which is not the direction I wanted to go with this, to in that Australian Open final when Martina Hingis called Moresmo half a man, and you just cringed. You just thought, oh my gosh, this is two women, and this is, it just was terrible. And I
missed that.
Oh yeah, 1999.
This sounds a little sideways, you guys, but still. I was listening to Bill Maher.
This whole show is sideways.
The panel show that Bill Maher did before he does his HBO thing now.
Yeah.
You know, where he'd have three or four really smart people and they would discuss things.
Oh, Politically Incorrect.
Okay, that's what it is. Politically Incorrect, which is a great show. And, you know, we think of Bill Maher as far, far left liberal. I just can't believe that he doesn't have a number of gay friends in his, you know, cachet of close people to him. But, you know, I remember, and I'm going to forget who it is right now, but some woman was on there. It might have been Lily Tomlin. I hate to say because I forget, but some woman was on there, a gay woman, and she said something about, you know, she and her girlfriend playing around with a dildo, okay? And Bill Maher just was taken aback. I mean, he stopped. He just waved his hand and said, stop talking. Stop. He said, wait a second. Wait a second. I am very confused. Now, you're telling me that gay women, some of them, play around with dildos? He said, gay women hate men, and they hate penises, and they don't want to have anything to do with heterosexual sex. So why in the world would they play around with penises? And I thought, you know what? If intelligent left-wing Bill Maher has such a twisted misconception of what you know, his sexuality is and what homosexuality is. And, you know, he's got it in this little compartmentalized box.
Absolutely.
And Martina Hingis, you know, not quite as smart as Bill Maher.
No.
She's got a twisted view of what homosexuality is, too.
Yeah, I mean, Martina Hingis did not graduate from my high school. Bill Maher, he did. That's the only famous graduate we have.
He did? Okay.
He did, yeah.
You're going to have this little dildo talk with him sometime, Ken.
You know, he hasn't called me in so long, Diana. It's really sad.
I knew we were going to be talking about the facts of life.
So the other story, which I thought was very interesting and perhaps dovetails nicely into bravabody.com, is there was an article I was checking out. This is perhaps going in the wrong direction. I was checking out outsports.com, which I had never looked at before. I've seen a lot of, there's a whole sports section on gay.com, but I never looked at outsports.com. And I was really, this is not my point in bringing it up. I was extraordinarily perturbed by the whole website. There were some good stories, but it was interspersed with this very sensationalist kind of, oh, and this soccer team drops their pants in between, some actual content of gay athletes. That's my rant about outsports.com. But on there, there was an article that said, finally, a straight man who's creeped out by Sports Illustrated's all-girl swimsuit issue. Jeff Perlman said, I just find the issue strange. The average Sports Illustrated reader is probably a male in his mid-40s. The average Sports Illustrated swimsuit model is a girl, usually 19, 20, 21, or 22 years old. They almost always have breathtaking faces with the awkward bodies of 14-year-old boys. And I thought that that was an interesting kind of body image thing to put out there for women. And it was nice to actually have a straight man say that. I don't know if you saw that at all or
you
saw
know,
the issue.
I didn't see that. I'm not familiar with outsports, but God knows, you know, all my life I've seen this Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue. And, you know, taken offense at it. Not that I do take offense at, you know, women's pictures in the nude, men's pictures, for those particular publications where you go for that. But this is called Sports Illustrated. It's the revered weekly that puts on its cover, you know, I mean, people count. How many times has Derek Jeter been on the cover?
Right.
It's one of the emblems of his fame as an athlete and his great achievement. How many times did BJK make the cover? So when you know, we're asked to look at this, you know, 30 pages of beautiful beaches and, you know, young women, you know, in the nude, those guys, those middle-aged men, young men who want to see those pictures, they have so many places to see them. They have so many opportunities to go and pick up other magazines and other websites and whatnot to see them. Why do the rest of us who pick up SI because we truly passionately care about sports, you know, have to be subjected to this every February?
Right.
And again, it's not that I say I'm a prude, but I disagree with that guy. I don't think they have, you know, much of the modeling world, of course, is built around girls who have 14-year-old bodies with very, you know, no curves, no breasts, no nothing, but I don't think that's true of the Sports Illustrated models. I think they're very curvy and have a little more fat on them than the average anorexic model. So it's a little bit of an aside, but I disagree with that analysis of their bodies. But it's just, for me, it's the wrong place, but I've given up. Whether it's National Public Radio or ABC Sports or Good Morning America, I've done every show there is, you know, lambasting Sports Illustrated for that issue, but it's a big selling issue, and they're never going to change it. So I've given up on it. But it's the wrong place for those particular photos.
In my fantasy world, you made an appearance on this show and lambasted Sports Illustrated, and that made all the difference.
There we go.
We're going to make the papers
tomorrow. It's a resume builder for Diana Nyad.
Yeah,
so
no,
tell it.
Fantasy, it happened.
Oh, yeah. Tell everybody about bravabody.com. I was surfing around it today, and it's just fantastic.
Well, it's a direct connection to what we were just talking
yes.
about. My best friend is named Bonnie Stoll, and she and I started Brava Body a couple of years ago. And the way why we started it was what we were about to go on a vacation. We're going to go with a bunch of women about our age. I'm 59 now, so this is when I was like 57. Bonnie's a couple of years younger. We're in good shape. You know, we don't look like we did when we were 25, but we look pretty darn good. So we're going to go down to Machu Picchu, hike that thing. Then we're going to go kayaking along the coast of Mexico, see some whales. It's pretty intense, you know. And then we're going to go to a resort, you know, sort of beach hotel and hang around by the pool for a couple of days. So our group of friends, a few of them call as we're getting ready and getting in shape for this trip, and they say, you know, I love the hike, love the Machu Picchu, love the kayaking. I'm getting my upper body and, you know, ready for that. But I will never, ever appear in public in a bathing suit again. So I'm not going on the resort beach vacation part. And Bonnie and I were like, what the heck? What has happened? Has it really come to this? That, you know, we are so fixated on perfection of body. Women in this culture, you know, it starts with anorexia and bulimia at 11 and 12, just fixation on body image. And I, you know, I'm vain. I like to look good in my clothes and my jeans when I go out at night. But what I'm concerned about, what I'm fixated about for my body is that I enjoy this beautiful planet of ours, that I enjoy the kids that are in my life, that I have energy. I don't have to go get the guy next door to put the water bottle on the dispenser in my kitchen because I am strong enough and agile enough to hoist it up in the air and put it on there myself.
102.5 miles.
Yeah, there you go. I did that. But, I mean, that's 30 years ago.
Right.
Today, it is exactly 30 years ago that I did that swim. So now today it's 2009. I'm 59 years old, and I'm competent, and I'm confident in my body. I walk down the sidewalk like I own it. And I want to impart that. That's why we chose the word Brava.
Right.
Like, good for you. Maybe you're not what you used to be, but get out there and be competent and confident and enjoy your life. Take control of your life. Because you have control of it physically, you're going to have control of it emotionally and in your career and your relationships and be able to handle your heartache better and cope with the disasters in your life. You're going to soar because that temple of yours is in shape. So that's why we called it Brava Body.
I am sitting up straighter now, and I realize that I'm not your demographic, but just even hearing that, I'm sitting up a little bit
Ken's
straighter
Ken's got his
right
pep
now.
Talk for the night.
That's great. Excellent. And what kind of responses are you? I just can imagine you're getting the most incredible responses.
You know, we are, and we sit, Bonnie and I cry. I mean, we are ex-world class athletes. Bonnie was as well as I was. And, you know, we still train people for the Ironman in Hawaii, you know, strong young bodies. We do all that. But the truth is, what makes us cry is a woman is 280 pounds. She writes to us that she is so ashamed of herself that she doesn't even want to look herself in the mirror. She takes her son to school, and she slumps over her steering wheel and sobs when she leaves him off because she knows he's so ashamed of her because the kids at school are talking about how his mother is so darn fat. And she writes us, and after working with us for 6 weeks, I'm not saying that we take 100 pounds off people, but we're realistic. We get people going. And, you know, she'll write us back and say, oh, my God, you guys, I've lost 20 pounds. I feel like maybe there's hope for me after all. Last night I got really mad at my husband, and I went out and got a giant-sized bag of Cheetos and a six-pack of Coke, and I ate and drank the whole damn thing. And we write her back and say, don't be so tough on yourself.
Yeah.
We do that kind of stuff, too. Go ahead. Just be realistic. But tomorrow, get up and go. Get back into it. You know, and so that's what moves us. And we've got a country of obesity. I'll tell you a little secret, and I just thought of this 2 days ago. So you're the first media people I'm telling.
Ooh.
Maybe I'm crazy, but...
Breaking news.
We love breaking news.
Yeah, here it is. Breaking news. It's happening on your show. In the next 8 years, I want to be assigned by the Obama administration as the fitness czar of America. I want to go around America to, you know, the AARP and cul-de-sacs and Blue Cross Blue Shield and schools and do a program called Get Up and Go. This is a Brava Body, but, of course, you know, it would be affected. And I want to get people, by the time Obama finishes his 8 years, because I'm going to assume it's going to be eight, not four, we're not only going to, he's going to help heal the economy and all the other, you know, desperate measures that are needed to take to get the society going again. I want to be the fitness czar, whereby at the end of these 8 years, people are going to look at America and say, you know what, they're not the obese people anymore.
Yeah.
Just like the Chinese doing Tai Chi, those Americans get up and they ride their bikes and they walk around the neighborhood and they do a few toe touches together. You know, the whole country's changing. That's what I want to do.
And everybody's walking a little bit straighter.
There
just standing up
straighter.
Well, that too. We say every week we on the show, Diana, we talk about what is a leader and what can we actually do. We read so many LGBT news stories, and sometimes I perhaps get a little angry and depressed and feel a little helpless. And we say, well, what is actually making a difference? And it's just such a thrill to have you on the show because you really are making a difference.
And you have so much good energy about it, too. It's just amazing that you're so motivated and...
It's just excited. Great. So we thank you just enormously for sharing that with us and with everyone listening out there. And folks should check out bravabody.com.
Thank you, Ken. Thank you, Becca.
Thank you.
Do you have one more minute, or do we need to go?
No, go. We got it.
You know, I was thinking when you said, I didn't realize that you did this on the show, talk about leadership and, you know, making a change. Well, you know, I think every anthropologist, Margaret Mead, et cetera, has said that change doesn't come on a global level. It comes on a very small neighborhood level. So, you know, on Halloween night, I was over at a friend's house, a gay man, and we were having a great little Halloween party, and we'd all go out and meet the kids. And so this Latino family comes up to the door, and we had a, you know, no to Prop 8, you know, huge sign out on the lawn. And this guy is like 22 years old. He's with his wife, who's about the same age, and they have a little baby they're pushing in the carriage, and she's got this really cute little costume on. And he says to me, you know, that no on 8, that really bothers me. I mean, it's just marriage is meant for a man and woman. I mean, you seem like such nice people, but it's just, it's wrong. I'm going to vote yes on 8. And so I stood outside with him, a couple of us did, for, you know, like an hour. And we talked to him. By the time he left, he said, you know, I never thought of it that way. Love is love. And so, you know, if people want to get together and, you know, like look at my daughter. If there were two men raising my daughter and giving her everything she needed in life, confidence and love and consistency, I wouldn't be against that. And I said, well, that's all it is.
That's all it is.
I don't know what you think being gay is, but it's just love. And that's what we got to accept. So, you know, if you can, on the one street in your neighborhood, on the one apartment floor in your building, if you can live the way you want to live, the way you think is right, and affect that small group of people that they're now going to embrace you. That guy was living in that neighborhood, and now he's going to go out and vote no on Prop 8 just because of a one little Halloween night conversation that changed his whole worldview around. And, you know, so I think leadership starts at a very small level, but it's crucial. It's to be applauded, and it's important.
It happens on that individual level. And that's what we struggle with, you know, especially with seeing milk and feeling like, oh, who's our leader and what do we coalesce around? And it really does happen in those individual conversations.
It does. It says, you know, be brave. Be out at work. You know, be out in your neighborhood. And those people, believe me, it's a domino effect. They have their own work colleagues, and they have their own other family friends. And so they go out starting to tell stories. They say, hey, you know, there are two gay guys who live two doors down from me, and my God, they are the rocks of our neighborhood. They're the ones who started the neighborhood watch. They're the ones who, you know, come over and babysit our kids when we have an emergency. I mean, they're the greatest people, and I just never knew any gay people before I met them. Well, you know, now their parents hear that story, and their colleagues at work hear that story, and they say, really, I really don't have any gay friends. I didn't realize that. I'd like to meet them, you know.
Yeah.
So it, you know, it springboards, and all of a sudden, all of America is more open.
Oh. Right. And Ken is pretty tired of educating people, I think. And
yes.
We talk about that sometimes, how it's hard. You get backed into a corner sometimes. You know, someone hears that we have a radio show, and then they say, well, what's the name of your radio show? And then I always kind of pause. I'm like, oh, God, is this going to be a good conversation, a bad conversation? And it's sometimes hard to do that. It's sometimes hard to just jump right in.
Yeah.
But it's important to be those first few conversations and get
absolutely
out there.
It's important to be to be true to what you believe. And you don't have to be radical. You know, I'm not a radical at all. As a matter of fact, being gay is not, you know, the first thing I wear on my sleeve. It's not what I think when I wake up in the morning. Oh, I'm gay.
Right.
You know? That comes down the list a little bit. But I certainly am going to be everything I am, you know, every day of my life. And, you know, what more? What am I going to get to be 80 and 90 and die and look back and say, oh, I was afraid and, you know, I didn't support who, you know, what was really truly inside me? No.
No. Diana Knight, I cannot begin to tell you what an absolute treat it is to have you on our show. You are officially the fitness czar of the show.
I was going
so gay
to say that myself, indeed.
If you're okay with that.
Thank you.
But we'll share you with America.
There you go. I appreciate it. Put the word out. Maybe it'll happen.
That's what we're going to do. Diana Knight, we wish you all the best. Please, folks, check out bravabody.com. There is some amazing work going on there. And Diana Knight is in the center of it all. Thank you so much for calling into our show. We're going to play some more Pink for everybody, courtesy of Diana Knight.
There you go. Becca, Ken, honestly, it's been entirely my pleasure. You guys are great.
Thank you so much. Wishing you all the best, Diana.
Have a great night.
Cheers. Bye.
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 Too much. I'm crying here. What have you done? I thought it would be fun. I can't stay on your life support. There's a shortage in the switch. I can't stay on your morphine, cause it's making me itch. I said I'm trying to call the nurse again, but she's been a little bitch. I think I'll get out. Some help. I can't stay on your life support. There's a shortage in the switch. I can't stay on your morphine, cause it's making me itch. I said try to call the nurse again, but she's being a little bitch. I think I'll get out of here.
That was Pink singing Just Like a Pill off of her album Misunderstood. It's like the end of the hour.
It is. How's your body image right now?
I'm feeling a lot better.
Are you feeling like pepped up?
Well, it's funny because I watched The Biggest Loser last night, and then we had Diana Nyad on the show tonight pepping us up. So I'm feeling like, oh gosh, I need to be more active. So I'm going to wake up early and make sure that I go to the gym because I probably am not going to feel like going after work tomorrow. So people really should check out that site. It's really nice to see websites that are devoted to people who actually aren't 20 and aren't 25 or 30, that there are segments of this population.
It's also nice for those websites that are for people who are, you know, 25, 30-ish.
Those are good. They're good too. Yeah. You folks have been listening to WVEW LP 107.7 FM Brattleboro Community Radio. If you're looking for a way to get in touch with us, it's pretty darn easy.
Our website, cuts across all generations.
It really does.
It does.
So if you are looking to get in touch with us through our website, where do they go, Becca?
www.thisshowissogay.com.
But Becca, I really want to send us an email.
Oh my gosh. Well, then you're going to have to think real hard and send it to thisshowissogay@AOL.com.
I don't have time for that, Becca. I'm on Facebook. I wish there was a way to get you guys through Facebook.
You can. You can friend us or join the group. This Show Is So Gay. I think you're starting to sense a theme here.
Yes. And you should, if you are listening and you are not a member of this This Show Is So Gay Facebook group, you're going to want to join right around now because the 300th member, and we're right about there, only a few more members left, gets a free t-shirt. So if you are looking to win a t-shirt for a friend of yours, you should tell them about the site and they will win a t-shirt. So tell some people, they'll get a t-shirt, or maybe convince someone to join the group and then
steal their t-shirt.
Take their t-shirt.
I mean, you know.
No, I advocate the theft.
No,
of the
I think you should tell them, like, you should join this
you
Facebook
join group, this
group because you will get so much out of the podcast and I will get the t-shirt.
And we, if you
it's
do
like a
that,
signing bonus.
If you do that, we will get them a magnet. So it's everybody wins.
Yes, the referrals.
Everybody wins. Any parting words over there in the corner, Stacey?
Excellent show.
It really was an excellent Diana Nye.
And we don't have
amazing.
Anyone outside waving and cheering us on today, but we do have snowplows. We have snowplows that are like the parade. It's the gay pride parade of snowplows out there right now. So if you're hearing that,
oh my gosh,
it's just for us to get
we're
home.
Gonna get is the snowplows. Is
well,
it
we
to
could
our gay
go
pride
and
parade?
Yeah, I don't know. Is there a pride parade in Brattleboro?
I don't think so.
If there is, we're going to be like the king and queen of the gay pride parade. That's my goal.
We can wait
from
crowds,
the
float.
Tiaras.
We want crowds. We want crowds. Oh, my gosh. We got to get out of here.
All right.
We got to get out of here.
Yeah, it's punching
folks,
time.
Have an amazing week. We wish you all the best.
So you know that I'm pissed. They say you're faithful. I don't believe that. Shh. Oh no, oh no.
Oh, I tried to act like I care, but it doesn't seem fair. You're so good to her. And I tried to pretend I don't see all the things that you do. You couldn't do for me.
I was in love.
What the hell with you? Cause you didn't wanna treat me. Dreaming.